contributors at the starvation rate of a cent a word, no distinction being made between long and short words. It is depressing, when you think of it, that a long scientific name brings no more than a plain Anglo-Saxon word in one syllable, and that only a cent apiece is paid for new words coined by the occasion and which have never before been printed in any book. But I digress. It was early in the spring when my physician said to me, "My dear Mr. Johnson, sit down. You're getting dashed dotty." This was a pleasing allusion to my employment, for as the discerning reader has long since guessed, I was a telegraph operator in a great city where the click of the instrument was superadded to the roar of the elevated trains, the rumble of the surface cars, and the nerve-destroying concussions made by the breaking of the cable during rush hours morning and evening. "What you need," said this gifted scientist to me, "is absolute rest and quiet. If you do not pack up and take to the woods within 3 days from the receipt of this notice, I will not answer for the consequences. Your brain is slowly but surely giving way. Your batteries are becoming exhausted and must be renewed if measurable currents are to be expected. I recommend new cells rather than recharging from a dynamo. Get busy now and let me see you no more until September 1st. Face to face with my death warrant, as it were, I unhesitatingly obeyed. Fortunately, my grandmother had left me a small log cabin in a clearing, this being her ancestral domicile, and the only piece of real estate she possessed at the time of her long-delayed demise some months back. Without waiting to inspect it, I hurried to my new home, accompanied only by a few books on natural history, which, as I afterward discovered, were by ignorant and untrustworthy writers, seeking to prey upon the credulity of the uninstructed public, and Tom-Tom, my cat. I had not intended to take Tom-Tom, but his fine animal instinct warned him of my impending departure, and he sat upon my bookcase and wailed piteously all through my packing. My foolish heart has always been strangely tender toward the lower animals, and I hastened to reassure Tom-Tom. After a little, I made him understand that wherever I went, he should go also, and he frisked about my apartment like a wild thing at play, waving his tail madly in the exuberance of his joy. Among the ignorant, the waving of a tail by any member of the cat family is taken to mean anger. According to my own observations, it may also indicate joy. Darwin has distinguished several canine emotions, which are distinctively expressed in the bark. Correlatively, I have tabulated 8 emotions expressed by the Candalus appendicus felinus, according to the method of waving it, down, up, right, left, twice to the right, once to the left, then up, and so on. These discoveries I reserve for a future article, as I began to tell about little Epsy Daisy. When I reached my home in the wilderness, it was nearly nightfall. I had only time to unpack my books, place them upon a rough shelf I hastily constructed, draw out the rude table, which happened to be in a corner of my cabin, and place upon it my observation ledger, my pocket notebook, and my red and Maltese inks. Tom-Tom watched my proceedings with great interest, and after I had built my campfire just outside the cabin door, we ate our frugal meal of bologna, wienerwursts, pretzels, and canned salmon. Relying upon the cracker box for bread, which Tom-Tom did not seem to care for, I was too tired to make either bread or coffee, but promised myself both for breakfast the following morning. Before retiring, I made a pilgrimage to the beach and secured nearly a peck of fine sand. I scattered this all about my cabin, that, in the morning, I might see what visitors had left their cards, so to speak, upon this telltale medium of communication. My first night in the clearing was uneventful. The unusual quiet kept me awake, and I thought that if someone would only pound a tin pan under my window, I could soon lose consciousness. The cat purred methodically in the hollow of my arm, but even with the noise of my Tom-Tom in my ears, it was 4 o'clock, according to my jeweled repeater, before I finally got to sleep. When I awoke, it was broad day, and after dressing hurriedly, I ran out to look at the sand, which the cat had not disturbed, being sound asleep still. Poor Tom-Tom. Perhaps he, too, found a cabin in the wilderness, an unusual resting place. Much to my delight, though hardly to my surprise, the sand was covered with a fine tracery, almost like lacework. The prints of tiny toes were to be discovered here and there, and now and then a broad...